Turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 15. I shall begin reading with verse 11 and read through verse 24. Some time back, I spoke from this same portion of Scripture on the prodigal son. You will remember that sermon. I pointed out he got sick of home, he got homesick, and he got home. And sometime in the future, I'm going to read this same portion of Scripture and preach to you on the prodigal son's brother, three things that were wrong with him. But this morning, being Father's Day, as you listen to the reading of the Word of God, I want you to notice my subject and apply it as you listen. The marvelous father of the prodigal son. The marvelous father of the prodigal son. Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 24. This, of course, is Jesus speaking. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have fain or greedily filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servant, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his precious word. The marvelous father of the prodigal son. Look first at his character. Look second at his concern. And look finally at his compassion. Let's look at the character of this man who is said to have had two sons. Number one, he provided for his children. Even in the opening verses, in a rebellious state, the younger of the two children came to his father and said, Give to me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And the Bible says, And he or his father divided unto them his living, or unto him his livelihood. And in 1 Peter, or rather 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, the Bible says, but if any provide not for his own, and especially they who are of his own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. God said it, and I believe it. And every man that brings children into this world is scripturally obligated to provide for his family. So this man's character is great in that he provided for his children. His character is seen as outstanding because he treated his servants well. Now, I have known some people, Brother George, who almost idolized and worshiped their children, but were very harsh and unkind and unmerciful to those who were subordinate to them or who worked for them. And there's something wrong with a man's character that can mistreat his help. And even this son, who was so rebellious, yonder in that foreign country, thought of his father when he said in the 17th verse of Luke 15, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perished with hunger. Here in this particular verse of scripture, this young man recognizes that his father not only provided for him, but he treated his servants well. And I would say to every man this morning who has those under him, even in the workplace, you ought to manifest the Christian ethic. And then his character seemed, Doug, in that he provided and longed for and prepared for a better day. Now, sometimes in divorces and remarriages, one or both sides are very harsh toward the other's children. And sometimes people are bound with some chains that it will take time to break. And here in this particular case, this son has been exceedingly rebellious. He has left home. He has wasted what his father has given him. And all the time, this dear man is preparing for a better day. For Proverbs 22 verse 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not what? You finish it for me. He will not depart from me. Now, Shane and Chelsea, would you please close your ears? I don't want you to hear what your granddaddy is about to say. Preparing for a better day. I never shall forget one time Mrs. Brunson and Sonia Dean, my daughter, and Dr. Bobby Jean Batson's daughter by the name of Jenny, we're going to New Mexico and Colorado and on to California. And there were no sweeter two girls anywhere than Sonia or Jenny. Just ask either one of their mothers. And if you think Sonia's eyes are big, you should see Jenny Batson's eyes. But the first day when we finally got to Albuquerque, we wanted them in their 13-year-old paradise to feel like grown people, so we rented them a room beside our room, and about 9:30 that night, Olivine said, Harold, you ought to go check on the girls. Don't forget my point, preparing for a better day. And when I knocked on the door, I heard Jenny and Sonia say, just a moment. And when they let me in, they said, "Is something wrong, Daddy?" And Jenny looked at me, "Is something wrong, Dr. Brunson?" I said, "Oh, no, I'm just checking on your girls. And I've never in all my born days smelled as much cigar smoke as I smelled in that room." I didn't say one single solitary thing. I said, "Let me see if your windows are closed and where they had flushed those little Havana tip cigars down the commode, that little piece of wood didn't flash." I walked out. I said, "If you girls need me through the night, call." Before they got up the next morning, I'd gone to a little drive-in and I had bought me some Havana sweets with a little tip on the end. And after we'd eaten breakfast and gotten about 100 miles down the road, I pulled out that little box of cigars and I said, "Sonia, would you like a cigar?" She said, "Daddy." I said, "Jenny, would you like a cigar?" She said, "Dr. Brunson." Never one time. From that day to this, have I seen Sonia, or I didn't see her that night, but have I even imagined that Sonia or Jenny smoked a cigar? What was I doing? I was preparing for a better day. Train up a child in the way he should go or she should go, and when they are old or older, they will not depart from it. The marvelous father of the prodigal son, his character, now then his concern. And there are so many unconcerned fathers and mothers in the United States of America, there needs to be a revival of concern among the parents of our nation. He was concerned, first of all, Mike, for a lost son. How do I know this son was unsaved? Because the scripture plainly says, "For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And the greatest need any daddy ought to have for his children is to see them wonderfully saved by the grace of God. So his concern was for this lost son. I imagine he could say in the words of the song, "Where is my wandering boy tonight? The boy of my tenderest care. The boy who once was my joy and my light. The child of my love and my care." I imagine that daddy thought once he was pure as morning dew. As he knelt at his mother's knee, no face was as bright, no heart more pure, and none was so sweet as he. I imagine that father thought, "Go for my wandering boy. Go tonight. Go search for him where you will, but bring him to me with all his blight. And tell him I love him still. Where is my boy tonight? Oh, where is my boy tonight? My heart o'erflows, for I love him, he knows. Oh, where is my boy tonight?" And I know that not a night went by that he did not pillow his head and think about that lost son in a foreign country. He was concerned for a lost son, and that's not all, and I'm fixing to get down where families live now. He was concerned for an envious and jealous son. And sometimes when parents do something for one child, another child will forget what they have already done for them and will grow envious and jealous. That's the truth. And here this older son is an envious person, and he looks his father right straight in the face and says, "Lo, all these years I have served thee, and I have never transgressed thy commandment. Yet the minute this son comes home, you have killed for him the fatted calf, and you never even gave me a billy goat. You never even gave me a kid." Jealous and envy. And there is something wrong with children who get jealous of what mother or father does for one of the other children when they have already done as much or more so for them. There ought to be a spirit of equality and equanimity in the house of a father who loves his children. And so this father was concerned for this envious son. We see that he was concerned for a particular reason, and that should be the reason for all of us listening to this sermon, is because he wanted a united family. And the only thing in the world that's worse than family trouble is church trouble. That's the only thing that's worse. Well, how do I know he wanted a united family? Because after this boy got home, the other boy heard music and dancing and didn't even know what was going on and asked one of the servants what was going on in the father's house. And they told him what was going on, and it angered him. And he refused to go in, because he was holding the past over his brother's head. And you listen to this preacher this morning. You cannot hold an old envious grudge against anybody without it doing you more harm than it does the other person. The Bible says he was angry and would not go in. But the father wanted a united family. So he went outside and entreated him, or begged him, to come in. I not only thank God for his character, I thank God for his concern for a lost son, for an envious son, and for a united family. A mother was asked one time who had 8 children, "Do you love one more than the other?" And immediately she said yes. And the interrogator was shocked at her quick reply, "Yes, I love one more than the other." So the next question was, "Which one?" And she said, "The one that is the sickest, the one that's hurting the most, the one that needs me the most. At the particular time, that's the one I love the most." Amen. A third thing, his compassion. He loved him while he was at home. And fathers ought to manifest a love for their children. I know men who have never one time in all their lives told their children, and especially their sons, that they loved them. And you'll live to regret it. He loved him while he was at home, and then he loved him when he left home. He left in a fury. He left in a rage. He took everything his father gave him. He wasted it in riotous living. He spent it on prostitutes and high fast living. And he got down to nothing. And yet the father still loved him. He loved him when he left home. And then his compassion is seen in that he loved him when he came back home. The Bible says that this daddy saw his son afar off. That proves to me, Brother Pierce and Brother Myers, that he had been looking for that son to come. He didn't know when, but here he is still looking for him. And while that son is afar off, he sees that dissipated character as he treks over those Judean hills, and his eyes perk up. And he says, "That's my boy. He's not as healthy as he was. He's not strong like he was when he left home, but I can tell by his walk, that's my boy." He saw him, and he had compassion, and he ran, and he fell on his neck, and he kissed him. And he said, "I'm no longer worthy to be called thy son." But the father said, "Bring forth the best robe, put on him, put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and rejoice and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." He loved him after he got home. The marvelous father of the prodigal son. His character was great. His concern was remarkable. And his compassion is to be emulated by every one of us. What shall we sing, Brother Wayne? Number 312. Now get your number and stand, look your picture right straight in the face. I remember my dear old hard-working father. He had a fifth-grade education, but he was a self-educated man, read profusely, had the most beautiful handwriting of anybody I've ever seen in my life, raised 9 out of 10 children. I remember him in a very, very special way, every Father's Day. But you know what I remember about him most? I remember when God called me to preach, and I told my father that he said, "That's why God has spared me, because he wanted me to know this before I went home." And Darrell, I've gone to preach at country churches before air conditioning. And I've seen my daddy come. And because of his heart condition, I've seen him go after I had preached and lie down under the shade of a tree where he could come back for the afternoon service. And don't you ever forget that that is a character and a concern and a compassion that I have tried to emulate, that I learned from my own father. But better still, we have a greater father. And you may have the sweetest and best father in the world, but if you don't know God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ, then you've missed the greatest blessing in the world. Amen. We're going to sing 2 stanzas of this song. And if you need to move, you come this morning.